The gospel lesson for this Epiphany Sunday comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter, the first 12 verses of that chapter. As I've said at the other services, this should be a familiar story to you. Even if the words maybe don't sound exactly like you remember them, you should recognize the story as we share this each year around Christmas time. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. How do you feel? How do you feel this morning? Are you feeling a little bit tired or maybe a little bit confused, a little bit dazed, a little bit ambivalent even? Happy New Year. Happy New Year. It's a good feeling. Okay. We have had quite a run these past couple of months, haven't we? It began back on November 28th, when we gathered around our respective tables in our homes or with friends to give thanks for the abundance of our lives. And then things quickly escalated with the following day as we moved into what is known as Black Friday. And then it was off from there. December 1, we gathered in this place, and we adorned it. Today, we will de-adorn it. That's not a word. But anyway, we'll end the season today. But we gathered on the 1st to set it up. Within, we had things like a quiet Christmas service. The choirs got together and offered a beautiful cantata. The kids' choir did a marvelous job to celebrate with us. And then, of course, Christmas Eve. Okay. We had food, parties, gifts, visits from far and wide, and on and on and on. So how do you feel? How do you feel looking back on all that stuff? All those activities, all that. Hopefully you feel like it was worth it. Hopefully you're sitting back now going, that was a great season. We did everything we wanted to do. We accomplished everything we wanted to accomplish. So hopefully you're feeling good about the season that ends today. The 12 drummers are drumming as we speak. All right. Enough reminiscing. Moving on. Believe it or not, as we gather this morning, there is a lot still going on. I mean, last Wednesday, we welcome a new year. 2020's on us. You know, today's the final day, 12th and final day of Christmas. Tomorrow, a new season begins. The season of? Epiphany. Epiphany. Perfect. Okay. So, what do we do today? Do we focus on Christmas? Do we focus on New Year's? Do we focus on Epiphany? Or do we do them all? Well, let's just take them chronologically. Okay. 12th day of Christmas. Today, the season, characterized by an awareness of Emmanuel, God with us, concludes. Season ends today. So therefore, I think it's appropriate that we ponder probably the most important question of the season. You know, Emmanuel, what does that mean to me? What does that mean to you? What does that look like in your life? God is with us. You know, I don't want to spent a lot of time just kind of romanticizing, you know, remembering the nativity story found in the second chapter of Luke. No, I wanted to go deeper than that. That there, understood, intrinsic to the word Emmanuel, is this idea that a profoundly sacred presence permeates our life. You know, God is with us. What does that mean? Do we care? Or is it just a perk? You know, okay, we'll take it. Okay. I love the gospel lesson this morning. It's beautiful. And the line that I find most compelling in it is found right at the outset. Verse 2. And I started just to read my paraphrase, and I was afraid people couldn't make the connection between the scripture lesson. So I'm going to read what I read just a moment ago, the end of verse 1 and through about half of verse 2. Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising." Okay, that's the verse. Here's my paraphrase. Where is he? We know he's here somewhere because we've seen the sign. Where is he? That's what they wanted to know then. That's what the Magi wanted to know. Where is he? They knew he had to be there somewhere because they'd seen the sign. They knew he was there. Okay, that brings us to last Wednesday and to New Year's Day. As far as I can tell, since maybe the dawn of time, since the dawn of civilization, humans have frequently ordered their life around cycles of different things. And, you know, maybe it was a climatic variations. Maybe it was agricultural cycle, whatever. They found this very helpful, and they organized our life that way. And ever since, folks have tended to use this understanding of time as an impetus for a new beginning, you know. Maybe even improve. Maybe they improve what has gone before. Start over, new cycle, let's do better. You know, e.g., New Year's resolutions. How many of you made New Year's resolutions? Even just one, in your mind. Did anybody make one? Three of you. Okay. I got it. Going on to perfection. That's what Wesley said. Going on to perfection. You guys are moving ahead of us. Okay. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that. Okay. In her best-selling book, The Cloister Walk, Kathleen Norris reflects on her experience living and really being immersed in the Benedictine community of St. John's Abbey in Collegeville, Minnesota. And it's a marvelous book. You probably don't need to read it because I've quoted the whole book to you over the last 30 years. But anyway, it's a marvelous read. And throughout the book, Norris highlights how the worldview of the Benedictine community repeatedly stands over against and calls into question the worldview of the rest of us, or most of us. Now, these insights alone are worth the price of the book. They're worth the investment of time in reading the book because they work on you. They work on your head. They work on your heart. They work on your soul. For instance, she notes that oftentimes in our culture today, when something happens, when someone does something horrible, or even not so hard, but just they do something that they shouldn't do, as we say. Many people will do this, she says. They will just sigh and they will say, "That's human nature." And then move on. And Norris goes on to note that that's a strange idea to the intentional religious communities of the Benedictines. And also would have been a strange idea to the community of the early church. Because they understood, and I've always understood, that human beings are a central part of what God calls good from the very beginning of the tradition. You remember these words. Genesis 1, verse 31. God saw everything that God had made, and indeed it was very good. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. So God created humankind in the divine image. In light of this theology of original goodness, some sort of malignant act by one who bears the divine image on them is an anomaly. It's an anomaly. You know, it's not who we are. Fourth century Bishop Gregory of Nyssa, one of the folks collectively referred to as the Cappadocian Fathers, speaks repeatedly of, quote, returning to the grace of that image which was established in you from the beginning. Gregory then argues that this reclaiming of the image was a lifelong pursuit of the faithful. You know, and to me, that's beautiful stuff. To me, that is the perfect idea for those of us to ponder at the dawn of this new year. You know, when we're thinking about resolutions, we're thinking about change, we're thinking about doing things a little bit differently. And we're not talking about being someone new. We're not talking about, oh, I got to be someone different. No, you need to be you. You know, we're talking about who we already are, the one whom we've spent so much time suppressing. Where is he? Where is he? We know he's here. We know he's here. We've seen the sign. Where is he? Okay. As you know, because we make reference to it every single year, the word epiphany derives from the Greek word epiphania, which just means to make manifest, to appear. And the church has set aside this celebration in this particular day, tomorrow is Epiphany, to celebrate the manifestation or appearance of God's anointed one, God's Christ in the world. Now, it sounds very churchy. It sounds, you know, rather esoteric, and it may be. But it's important as we're trying to figure out this Christ thing. We're trying to figure out this God thing. We're trying to figure out this thing called life. Because in the first century, in first century Palestine, a group of people were trying to find meaning for their life. And they did. And they found direction for their life as they encountered an itinerant preacher from Galilee named Jesus. Okay? And it was called an epiphany because in this incredible life, they found a path into the very heart of God. So to me, Epiphany is one of the most misunderstood and least appreciated seasons of the entire year. And it's a shame because Epiphany is the reason we gather here week after week after week. You see, we just finished Advent and Christmas, right? Where Emmanuel is the name of the game. You know, God is with us trying to figure out this presence. We turn to Epiphany and the question is, how do we manifest that presence? Okay, it's here. God is with us. So how do we make that presence tangible? Where is he? We know he's here somewhere. Resolutions again. Back to that. Okay. The Magi showed up in Jerusalem. And they said, where is he? That's what they wanted to know. Paul put it this way one time. He said, you are the body of Christ. And individually, members of it. Where is he? Always the question, the epiphany question. Okay. Tomorrow we start a new season. Season out before, it's leading into Lent. Matthew chapter 2, what I just read, offers us an epiphany vision. A vision of what could be, of what we could become or what we could realize in ourselves. So hear it again. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary's mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And the best of the best. Jonah just read part from Isaiah, prefiguring this, you know, this gifts of gold and frankincense, the day of the Lord. So far, so good. Then in the text, verse 12, and having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. That's perfect. That's a guiding metaphor for me for this new year. Because every year it's the same old thing. Make a resolution, you know, it's temporary. We're just kind of going through the acts. You know, we start January, just kind of going about our lives. Move into February, it's back to the same old thing. We go down the same road, see the same things, do the same things. What if we go a different road this year? What if we you know, respond to this, see new vistas, engage in new activities? Wouldn't that be something? Fourth century. Think back to when you were a child. Fourth century. Pseudo-Macarius wrote these beautiful words. The heart itself is but a small vessel, yet dragons are there, and there are also lions. There are poisonous beasts, and all the treasures of evil. But there too is God, the angels, the life and the kingdom, the light and the apostles, the heavenly cities and the treasures of grace. All things are there. The Epiphany challenge is very simple. It's to make Christ manifest. To manifest goodness and mercy and grace in and through our lives. It's to make him known. Where is he? We saw his sign. You can see the steeple from Millbrook and Glenwood. The sign, Pleasure Grove, down to this church, is on our bus. Sign out front, all welcome. We've seen his sign. He's got to be here somewhere. Where is he? That's the Epiphany challenge. So, maybe it's time to take a different road. Okay. I'll just end with this. Happy New Year, or Merry Christmas, or Happy Epiphany. Thanks be to God. Amen.